Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
Well, when you talk about providing feedback, what's so remarkable about you and so singular is here you were a young woman with, you know, very different principles in the Oval Office or on the road with John Kerry, and you were willing to give feedback and tell things that they may not want to hear. You figured out how to do it, which is such a critical part of your book. But you're also, you're a woman, you're a mom, and you had the experience of the White House Chief of Staff changing a diaper for you when you had a very busy day at the White House. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, that speaks to...
Oh, could we just stop? I've got Andrea Mitchell fawning over Jen Psaki because she has a new book out. This is... We're through the looking glass. Is that the proper use of the expression? There is not news. There is just, you know, approve of the people we say are good. And the best is it gets into this conversation. Jen Psaki praising herself and what a person. And what do you get? You get Andrea Mitchell with the commentary of commentaries.
What we need and see if they'll meet it.
Well, Jen Psaki, no one has done it better.
Thank you, Andrea.
In various departments, and your reputation for honesty and truth selling, especially when you came into the White House after the previous administration, you just started off on the right foot.
You mean Jen Circleback Psaki started off on the right foot? Her reputation for honesty and, well, compared to Corinne Jean-Pierre, sure, but... Oh, holy hell. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That's the number. That's how you get to be a part of what it is we're doing here. I've been trying very, very, very hard to stay away from those kinds of clips. But every now and again... Just goodness gracious. Then there was Representative Frank Pallone out of New Jersey. Very upset that there is criticism of NPR. How dare Republicans be opposed to NPR? How dare they call them out? How dare they speak about them? As a matter of fact, this is McCarthyism.
This hearing is a complete waste of this committee's time. We're here today solely because Speaker Johnson sees NPR as an easy punching bag as he attempts to placate the most extreme right wing of his party, and he directed the Republican committee leadership to hold this hearing. It's deeply disappointing that the majority has agreed to play along by attacking NPR and, in a very disturbing turn, demanding that it disclose the political affiliations of its employees and board members.
Is that really necessary? We know the political affiliation. I mean, disclose it or not, we know it. But I think you should be honest if you're taking public money, right?
These are the same tactics employed during the dark days of McCarthyism. I had hoped that that was over. This is 2024, not 1953. But again, this is all being done to distract from the Republican leadership's inability to govern and their failure to fulfill any of their promises on their frivolous investigations. I think this committee is better than this hearing. But the hearing was so rushed that the Republican majority demanded that NPR CEO Catherine Marr appear with only a week's notice on the same day as NPR's annual board meeting, which has been scheduled and publicly noticed for at least a year. A further evidence of a lack of seriousness, the majority has refused to accept any alternate date offered by NPR, and it's fully understandable that Ms. Marr is not here today. None of this follows the normal committee process for scheduling a witness in good faith. And even if she could have testified, she's only been the CEO for 6 weeks, yet Republicans would have wanted her to answer for heavily criticized allegations of bias by a former disgruntled employee. And this is particularly absurd given that NPR's CEO plays no role in editorial decisions and does not control NPR's content.
If you're in charge, you're in charge. That's all there is to it. But let's go back. Let's take a moment and listen to this outrage. all right, if you're calling a meeting and it's the meeting of their annual meeting at NPR and you've called the hearing for then, yeah, it's not a great look, but it's not the end of the world. So calm down, Mr. Pallone. The story here is, why am I funding this garbage? Why do I, through my tax dollar, have to fund the competition that you find acceptable? Let's be clear, NPR is my competition. Who are your radio hosts? Who are your people? Who are your faves? NPR is their competition. Why do I have to fund my competition? Me, I have to go out into the marketplace. I have to find sponsors. I have to share with them the vision of the show. And then I have to produce and provide them value for the dollars that they're putting into the stations. That's called capitalism. And it's a haul, but it's worth it. Not NPR. NPR tells people like Frank Pallone, I need a bigger check. And then they say, we got to take care of that NPR. And then that's that. If you want to argue that the funding for NPR doesn't actually come from government, it doesn't all come from here or there, well, what percentage does? What percentage does? As The Hill reports this story, going back to April of 2023, NPR may receive little direct federal funding, but a good deal of its budget comprises federal funds that flow to it indirectly by federal law. So you've got the 1967 Public Broadcasting Act. Funds are allocated annually to a non-government agency, which is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, overseen by a board of presidential appointees. That corporation can choose to support original programming produced by public television or public radio, but by law must direct much of its funding to local public television and public radio stations across the country via what they call community service grants. In 2023, that was $445 million. So the stations locally, if they want to broadcast something from NPR, they have to pay for it. So NPR back in 2021 reported $90 million in revenue from contracts from customers. The revenue was only exceeded by corporate sponsorships, which totaled $121 million. So if now your argument is these people can exist without federal funding altogether, well, that's fine. But it seems to me that you're utilizing federal funds in these smaller stations so they can buy programming from NPR. So basically, you're funneling it. If the local stations aren't using the money apportioned to them to get the programming that is NPR provided, then let's say they want to go somewhere else, well, that might not be allowed. So therefore, there's only one game in town. Therefore, it's money laundering. It is what it is, what it is. This is the system that you're sending it through. Maybe it would help if I explained it in a way that was a little more base for everybody, if we're having a hard time understanding what's happening here. You see, what happens here is that Tommy, he starts a prepaid calling card business called Tommy's Prepaid Calling Cards. And what he does is he sells the cards because he finds a company to get a huge contract with one of these carriers, right? So they're carrying, right, they got the cell phone service and they're providing the calling cards. Well, this company doesn't really exist and they buy the whole thing on credit. Meanwhile, Tommy's out there selling the cards, making all this money. But, you know, he doesn't ever pay the thing that was on credit. The company goes out of business. The carrier gets stiffed and you made all the money from the calling cards. And those poor schmucks don't get to call anybody from out of country anymore. What a brilliant idea. Did that make more sense to everybody? That's the NPR methodology? Okay. Actually, it's a little more duplicitous with NPR. because they're saying they're the only game in town. And therefore, they're able to charge, as I see it, based on this understanding, anything they want. Anything they want. I'm not interested in funding my competition. And if Congressman Pallone doesn't like it, that's Congressman Pallone's problem. It isn't McCarthyism to say, hey, we notice that everything about you is progressive as sin. That's not McCarthyism. Are you now, or have you ever been a communist? You could argue that's not conversations we should be having. But these were conversations to either specific employees who they thought were being duplicitous or to people in the private sector. If you're getting some level of federal funding or you're on the take, what exactly are we saying can't be answered here about your ideology and therefore how you put out content? Don't have any government involvement. Force NPR to play on an equal battlefield, and then no problem. Do I think the owner of my stations, wherever those stations may be, should have to answer a question like that about their No, not at all. Not for a second. Do I think you should have to for your job? Absolutely not. But we did that recently. We did that to Americans recently when we said, you have to get the COVID vaccine. Wasn't that absolutely a political litmus test in a large way? Well, Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York, you remember Andrew Cuomo, don't you? Andrew Cuomo, he was the guy, he had the brother who was on NPR and they were making fun of anybody who didn't take COVID seriously, and people should be. You remember Andrew Cuomo, right? Here, this was his theme song. I'm a creep. I'm a winner. Now you remember. Well, he's making news, and you're going to lose your mind when you hear it. I will share that with you next. I'm Tony Katz. There isn't enough in the dictionary to give me the proper vocabulary to describe how disgusting of a human being Andrew Cuomo is. Andrew Cuomo is a disgusting, disgusting human being. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. It's good to be with you. Find everything going on at TonyKatz.com. This is a guy who let nursing home patients die. This is a guy who claimed to be the expert on COVID, and he was keeping America sane while Donald Trump was, I don't know, doing nothing wrong. He was a fraud. He lied. He kept people from being with loved ones on their deathbeds. He didn't make people healthy or helped lead to better outcomes. He loved the limelight. He profited. And all the while, he was trying to get a little strange from his staffers. But then he goes on to a podcast. I think it's called Quake. I don't know anything about it, but that's neither here nor there. And start making statements that, you know, this idea that government forced you to do this or government forced you to do that, that's not true. I told you it'd make you angry. Hold on.
I believe if government were to now say, we just made a finding that there's a new virus and everyone should do X, Y, and Z. The amount of compliance with X, Y, and Z would be much, much lower than it was at the beginning of COVID because people do not trust the government, especially on this issue, the way they did at the beginning. And that would be a complicating factor, right? When you have people who just don't listen, because government had no capacity to enforce any of this. You must wear a mask. And people wore masks in New York. But if they said, I'm not wearing a mask, there was nothing I could do about it. You must close your private business. I won't. Well, there was nothing I could really do about it. It was really all voluntary, and it was extraordinary when you think about it.
Please keep your hands on the wheel. Please keep driving down the road. Do not lose your mind. It was all voluntary. A low-life scumbag is Andrew Cuomo. Were bar owners voluntarily shutting down, only serving half of their seats? Or were they told by the health department, if you do this, you will be shut down. We will fine you for this. We will fine you for that. It wasn't voluntary. It is a blanking lie from a low-life scumbag. Oh, thank you, producer Jason. All the nurses that got fired. Voluntary? You know, my job is to not lose my mind. You understand that's the job of the radio host, right? The job of the host is to never be as outraged as you are outraged. That's why I have my calming down music. Ah. You see, when a low-life scumbag son of a bitch named Andrew Cuomo decides that he's going to now tell us that all the lockdowns and all the shutdowns and all the mask mandates were all voluntary, people did it on their own, it's just amazing. Well, we know we're being lied to, and we know that he is a worthless human being, but I can't get too upset. I know you're more upset, and I don't want to take away from you being angry, so you take a minute to just let it out. Just let it out, and then the cool, soothing music of Angela's theme, Angela's song will be there for you. It's a theme to Taxi, but it's called Angela's Song. Just take a minute. Just breathe in. Breathe out. Andrew Cuomo thinks that you wearing a mask was voluntary and not subject to fines. As David Marcus points out, his local bodega was fined time and again at $900 a pop for failing to enforce mask policies. But yes, it was all voluntary. You know the whole thing in the book 1984 where things get memory holed? And there's this moment where they're screaming about war with I forget, it was East Asia or Oceania. And in right there in the middle of the speech, they change who the enemy is. And the guy giving the speech, he doesn't miss a beat. He just keeps going, just changes the name. And the people still scream out that they're so angry. They're going to do this. They're going to. They don't care. The reason people hate and distrust government is because of people like Andrew Cuomo, in concert with his brother Chris Cuomo, lied to America and then decided to act pious about it. They lied. 6 feet of separation? Lie. You can sit down in a restaurant and eat a meal, but if you stand up, you have to have a mask on because it turns out COVID doesn't go below a certain height. All lies, all ridiculousness. And yet you were subject to abuse and ridicule and financial harm if you didn't listen. All voluntary. God, what a scumbag. He's the reason we don't trust. And if anybody thinks of rehabilitating this guy's career, you're out of your head. It's bad enough Chris Cuomo's making $1 million a year. This is Tony Katz today. Fatties for Palestine. What are you looking at me for? That's the name of their Instagram feed. Fatties for Palestine. Fatties fighting for liberation for all. No one is free till we are all free. Fatties for Palestine. I saw a video on X. I'm like, that's not a thing. And now I'm looking it up. So my search history is like going to be completely messed up here. Fatties for, hold on, for guys just, oh, there it is. Oh my gosh, that's real. Oh, that's real. Oh, look at that. Look at that. No, as a matter of fact, don't look at that. Dear God, do not look at that. My eyes, do not look at that. Tony Katz today. At Princeton University, they're having a hunger strike for Palestine, which doesn't exist on a map, by the way. And then they're saying, we're so hungry, we're shaking. Yeah, it's because you're not eating, you morons. You should have a steak. You should have a steak and you would feel better. As a matter of fact, if you need, I've got a little theme song here. You know, sing this to yourself anytime you're feeling hungry.
Cooking a steak, wouldn't it be great? You could be my mate. Cooking a steak, for goodness sake, will you please be my mate and come and cook a steak? Steak.
See that? You sing that to yourself. You remind yourself, hey, maybe I should have a steak and I wouldn't be so hungry. All of a sudden, it's complete Norm MacDonald that moment. I was hungry. I had one of those steaks that everyone's been raving about. They rave about the steak, so I was hungry and I had a steak, and then I wasn't hungry anymore. Norm makes everything better. These people are ridiculous. These people are silly. But it's not silly that Joe Biden is keeping this weaponry, this ammunition from Israel. As a matter of fact, there's a question being asked by people like Mike Pompeo about this. Pompeo is asking, what's the difference here? What is the difference here between what Biden did and what they accused Trump of? President Trump was impeached over false claims that he played politics with military aid. It was always a lie. Joe Biden is actually doing the very thing President Trump was accused of. He's holding up aid to our ally Israel to play politics in an election year. Where is Adam Schiff? Where is the outcry from the press? Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, is absolutely correct. This is what they said Trump was doing was the end of humanity and required impeachment. Joe Biden does it. It's no big deal. But I think that it should be a very, very big deal. Why is it okay when one does it and not when the other does it? Just another in the long list of, well, Democrats get away with. They seem to get away with a lot. Now, there was a speech made by Joe Biden yesterday that was very un-Joe Biden-like in that he didn't hesitate. He didn't stutter. And just for this segment of the speech, he was on top of his game.
This ancient hatred of Jews didn't begin with the Holocaust. It didn't end with the Holocaust either, or after, even after our victory in World War II. This hatred continues to lie deep in the hearts of too many people in the world and requires our continued vigilance and outspokenness. That hatred was brought to life on October 7th in 2023 On the sacred Jewish holiday, the terrorist group Hamas unleashed the deadliest day of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Driven by ancient desire to wipe out the Jewish people off the face of the earth, over 1,200 innocent people, babies, parents, grandparents, slaughtered in their kibbutz, massacred at a music festival, brutally raped, mutilated, and sexually assaulted.
He's speaking with such clarity, you would think that this was Joe Biden of 20 years ago. And this is something maybe Joe Biden of 20 years ago would have said. He clearly is having himself an out-of-body experience here, and he thinks it is 20 years ago. After all, he does talk to dead people, because the Joe Biden of today doesn't believe anything he just said here. If you believed that this massacre of Jews and of Israelis is despicable, you would think it okay to respond to the people who attacked you, and you certainly wouldn't hold up ammunition shipments to them, would you?
Thousands more carrying wounds, bullets and shrapnel from the memory of that terrible day they endured. Hundreds taken hostage, including survivors of the Shoah. Now, here we are, not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later, and people are already forgetting.
How in trouble is he with his political party? How in trouble is he now with the political left for making this statement? By the way, the most clear-headed thing he has said in months, if not years? This is from Randy Weingarten. She heads up one of the teachers' unions. Education is a fundamental human right. All 12 of Gaza's universities and more than 80% of its schools are severely damaged or destroyed. The tragic toll of this war includes students and teachers who have been killed, but the impact will be felt for generations to come. Randy Weingarten should not be allowed near children. But I would like for you to do me a favor, if you would, if you don't mind. I appreciate it when you participate. Would you please share with me, go grab a constitution. Grab a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America. Randy Weingarten, who runs a teachers' union, saying education is a fundamental human right. Would you now show me in the Constitution where education is listed? It's all right. I'll wait. We've got time. The song goes on for a while. Yeah, I got it on a loop. Right? Just take your time. What? You don't want the Jeopardy theme? All right. No. Still take your time. I mean, we can do show tunes. We can do show tunes here. A little bit of Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my.
Take
shot.
Your time. Find
just
it.
Like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Have you found it yet? Where in the Constitution it mentions education? More Hamilton? Sure.
Raise a glass to freedom. Something they can never take away. No matter what they tell you.
Find it yet? No? Okay.
Raise a glass to the four of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us. Telling the story of tonight.
Yeah, it's not there. Because education, as provided by a government, is not a human right. You unbelievably massive dope. Oh, wait, you think you found it? You need a little more time? If you need, I got the show tunes. I've got the show tunes. If you think you found it, I will give you all the time in the world.
One day more.
Go ahead.
Another day, another destiny.
Just, yeah, it's not there. But what does it matter to these people? What is it like living in a world that anything you feel is therefore a human right? Housing is a human right. How is it a human right? How is it a human right? Housing provided by whom? Housing has to be built. Are you saying that you are entitled to the labor of another? Well, these are the people who believe that healthcare is a human right. The only way healthcare can be a human right is if you believe that doctors are slaves to do your bidding when you need it. Anytime you're feeling ill, the doctor has to be there to take care of you. The doctor, therefore, doesn't live in their own time. They live on your time. The doctor is a slave. The people who believe in universal health care believe in slavery. Argue it with me. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. I dare you to argue it with me. Do the math. If education is a fundamental human right, then the argument is that the teacher must be provided, which is, of course, what she wants. I respond to that by saying, wait a second. I'm the parent. I can do the educating. Nobody needs you. How do they respond? But you're not an expert. You didn't go to college. Wait. The colleges that have the people who belong to Fatties for Palestine? That's where you got your education, and you think you have that gives you an expertise to teach my child? That's so ridiculously daft. You probably think education is a fundamental human right. And it goes in a circle, just like that. I would love to see some movement on Biden holding up aid. They claim it's not part of the supplemental that just got passed, so therefore he hasn't done anything wrong. I don't know if that's so true. You impeached Trump for less. Let's go to work. But go back to this speech from Joe Biden.
We're already forgetting that Hamas unleashed this terror. It was Hamas that brutalized Israelis. It was Hamas who took and continues to hold hostages. I have not forgotten, nor have you, and we will not forget.
You're telling this to a group of people who were at a Holocaust Remembrance Day event. You should be telling this to the kids on the campus of Columbia. That's where you should be giving the speech. That's where you should be giving the speech. It was Hamas who did this. And now Israel wants to put an end to Hamas. And you're like, how dare you? So he gives this speech and then he acts in a way that has nothing to do rationally with the speech. And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. He clearly doesn't know what decade he's in. The most clear-headed thing the man has said in years. And it has absolutely no connection to how he acts and how his party acts. I'm telling you, I don't think the guy knew it was 2024 when he gave that speech. Because that's not 2024 Joe Biden. That's a younger Joe Biden. I mean, still probably racist and all, but younger. And still, you know, talking like a Democrat. Remember when that happened? Oh, good times. I'm Tony Katz. So the Dow is up 110, the Nasdaq's down 45, and Shopify, they're down 19%. Wait, why? Shopify, basically you want to create an online store. They've done a very, very good job in cornering parts of that e-commerce marketplace. But I'm curious as to what the issue is. Tony Katz today. They're like, look, first quarter worked, right? We're beating the top line. We're beating the bottom line. But we're looking at second quarter. Not as great. Yet they think second quarter revenue growth is going to be a high teens percentage rate year over year. You mean if they're doing 18%, that's not good enough? They're out of Canada. Maybe that's their problem. They're saying that the second quarter revenue is expected to grow at the high teens percentage rate per year, which is in line with his estimates for 19.5%. But Shopify has posted year-over-year revenue growth in the low to mid-20s for the past six quarters. Good gosh. This is responsible for bringing the shares down 19%? The shares are down 19% because they won't have 23% growth. It'll only be 19.5% growth?
Oh, poor you.
Good Lord. Wall Street is a weird place. I mean, that's outrageously impressive. There comes a moment where things do start to flatten. You go for the growth. You're still trying to build. There's still plenty of opportunity for them to do so. They say that they cover 10% of total U.S. e-commerce. Well, what's better than 10% but 11%? There's room to grow. But wow, what a thing to hit them for. You're like, oh my gosh, what's going on with Shopify? Then you realize, nothing. It's a little harder to acquire, the businesses, but we'll get there. Meanwhile, they're selling gold in convenience stores in Korea, South Korea. They're not selling anything in North Korea because they don't have convenience stores. Because they don't have food. Because they're commies. This is Tony Katz today.